guys. Welcome into a must-win game with Maggie Gray. So excited. Anthony Gargano is going to join me later on in the podcast. Everyone in Philadelphia is so fired up about LeBron James joining the Sixers. But what are going to be some of the potential obstacles that LeBron is going to face as he's trying to win a title with the Sixers in 2027? We'll also talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and who has more support in the front office, Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni, the quarterback or the head coach. And Anthony will also tell us why he's afraid of the Dallas Cowboys this year and why actor Kevin James is not a true sports fan. So hang on for that. But first, a little stock up, stock down for you. And Bill Belichick, it has to be stock down. I mean, even more, the stock is tumbling. The latest news Monday was that his general manager at North Carolina football, Michael Lombardi, has been put on paid leave. Now, Pete Thamel from ESPN is saying that this is going back to an HR complaint that was filed by an employee that no longer works for the university. So obviously there's a lot to go here. We have so few details to go on, but this is yet another embarrassing headline coming out of North Carolina that has to do with someone in Bill Belichick's inner circle. Obviously, the stuff with his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, who's in her mid-20s, as Belichick is in his mid-70s, you know, this caused so many snickers and eye rolls, and they breathed a lot of fire into this. When Bill Belichick was doing his book tour, before he'd ever even officially coached a game at North Carolina, she had already interjected on that CBS Sunday morning interview. It caused so many unflattering headlines. But then you thought, okay, you'll get to the season and Bill Belichick will be able to remind everybody of what a genius he is as a coach. And the Tar Heels went 4-8. They got absolutely blown out by TCU, by Clemson. I mean, they didn't even deserve to be on the same field as some of these teams. And I think Bill Belichick probably learned a very important lesson, which is in college, you can't just outcoach your opponent. You know, you always used to say the cliche, NFL is about the X's and O's. College is about the Jimmies and the Joes. You have to be getting better players in the transfer portal, especially if North Carolina is committing the kind of money that they claim they are to football. So to me, this has just been one negative headline after another for Bill Belichick, and I'm actually struggling to find the positive headlines. I mean, let's go back to even where this all began, which is that Bill Belichick wanted to keep coaching in the NFL and there were no takers. Even so much so that he reached out to his hated rival, the New York Jets, to even see if there could be a spot. And they said no to hire like Aaron Glenn. So Belichick goes to college, but there's a clause in his contract that if he doesn't even last, you know, until the first game is played, that the buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million. Like, it always seemed like either Belichick was looking for the exit to try to get back to the NFL, or we weren't even sure how much support he got to be the next head coach after Mac Brown was, you know, fired, I guess, or they parted ways with Mac Brown, better way to put it. And they had, you know, other options. And was it the athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, who wanted Bill Belichick? What about the board of directors? Basically giving you the bottom line that it was not a unanimous decision to bring Bill Belichick aboard. And now the university just doesn't even have any wins to show for it. It's an organization or a college program that doesn't look very stable. And let's bring up another point. The schedule is getting much harder for North Carolina this year. Not only did they open the season playing against TCU just like last year, that ended up as a blowout. They are at Clemson on September 19th. Then they're playing Notre Dame this year. They also play Miami this year and Louisville. So all of the big dogs in the ACC are on this schedule, where last year they were able to avoid at least Miami. Clemson was a total blowout. So again, Michael Lombardi, the general manager for Bill Belichick's UNC football team, has been put on paid administrative leave. And listen, there's not a lot of people who love Lombardi out there. When he was in the media, he really pulled no punches when he was talking about coaching decisions in the NFL. And he always kind of had this, I'm smarter than you, I'm the smartest guy in the room sort of ethos. And yet his NFL career as a front office executive never really back that up. But again, he's sort of been in the Bill Belichick circle for so long that he got a lot of the shine from Belichick. And now this is yet another potentially disastrous Belichick decision, depending on what goes on with this investigation with Lombardi and UNC and why he is on paid leave and what happened with, according to Pete Thamel, an HR complaint. So this could be another case of Bill Belichick, who is always so good at putting the right people in the right places. So putting coaches in a position to succeed, putting players in a position to succeed. And it started when he took Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and had them run the offense in New England. That was a disaster with Mac Jones. And I don't know, Lombardi might end up being another really big mistake from Belichick. Okay, I got to go stock down here, and this is a scary one, but it's the San Francisco 49ers after the news came out that their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, had been involved in a very serious car accident. Kyle Shanahan, this happened in mid-July, although we didn't hear about it till this weekend. 40 stitches, a broken nose, and a concussion. And that's obviously the scariest part, not just because it's your brain, but what if Kyle Shanahan is feeling the impact of this concussion deep into the season? I mean, you're talking about concussion symptoms. Generally, one of the things they tell you not to do is look at screens. You know, you can become very light sensitive. Kyle Shanahan is a football coach who probably watches hundreds of hours of film. I mean, probably as much as he can possibly consume throughout the week, he's going to be watching film, studying film. So the fact that he's dealing with this concussion is not just scary for him on a personal note, just like any player, but also this is a guy who's got to be the sharpest of anyone in the organization on a game day. And so, you know, you're wondering sort of how this is going to go with the 49ers, because the 49ers are not the type of team that ever just has a mediocre season. Not under Kyle Shanahan, and this is him going into his 10th year. It's either double-digit wins, winning at least a game in the playoffs like they did last year and upsetting the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card round, but they're usually either going to the conference championship game, the Super Bowl, of which they've gone to two under Kyle Shanahan. They lost them both to the Kansas City Chiefs, but there's no middle ground. Like, case in point, last year, 12-5 season, okay, got a little bit of an easy schedule, but did win a playoff game. Year before, 6-11. I mean, a season that just was completely off the rails almost before it started. Brandon Ayuk was a hold in, Trent Williams was a hold out, Fred Warner was playing on a broken ankle, Christian McCaffrey was hurt for a lot of the year, Deebo Samuel getting into it with teammates on the sideline. So that's a 6-11 season. Year before that, they're 12-5, go to the Super Bowl, losing overtime. Year before that, 13-4, losing the conference championship game. 10-7 the year before that, losing the NFC championship game. 6-10, though, in 2020. And 13-3, 2019, lost the Super Bowl. That was the first one, Jimmy Garoppolo versus Patrick Mahomes. 2018, 4-12. Kyle Shanahan's first year, 6-10. It's almost like there's just no in-between. So for the 49ers, I'm curious, when you start the season off with this kind of big destabilizing news, how does that impact the season? It's one thing for players to have contract situations, or yes, you have had a revolving door of defensive coordinators. The latest is Raheem Morris after he was fired by the Falcons, but Shanahan and John Lynch have obviously been the biggest, you know, pillars here in the organization. Well, now Kyle Shanahan is dealing with something really big. So how does that impact the 49ers? And is this something they're going to overcome and it's going to end up being a positive story about triumph and overcoming adversity? Or is this just going to be something that they're dealing with all year long and Kyle Shanahan never really feels back to himself? While we're talking about football, let's do a stock up. And that's the news that Patrick Mahomes is fully healthy. And this should be the biggest headline in the NFL. And I'm not even really sure what a close second would be. You know, we have seen Patrick Mahomes take Kansas City teams that have offenses full of God knows who and God knows what. I mean, outside of Travis Kelce, who, yeah, is going to be back, but he is now like definitely past his prime. this is a team that has been able to stitch together, you know, wide receivers who go other places and forget how to play the position, come back to Kansas City, and all of a sudden catching touchdown passes in the Super Bowl. This is the Mahomes effect, or you want to say Mahomes and Andy Reid, but I think this is the Mahomes magic. I mean, he's got the three Super Bowl wins. To me, this is just the biggest story in the NFL, because last year, when the Kansas City Chiefs did not make the playoffs, mostly because Mahomes was injured, this was the chance for other teams in the AFC. And it was the New England Patriots, the upstart Patriots, the ones who ended up getting through. But I mean, forget it. Like, if Mahomes is healthy, this is going to set off, to me, another era of dominance. How could you say differently? Okay, coming up, we're going to talk to one of my brand new colleagues, Anthony Gargano. You know him from the All City Network. Obviously, he is one of the voices of Philadelphia sports. We're talking about LeBron James. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, the healthy fear of Dak Prescott that resides in every Eagle fan, and also a little about celebrities who are not true sports fans. Take a listen. Because you're the first person I thought of when I saw the news that LeBron James had signed in Philadelphia. So, okay, what's the breakdown of people who are convinced you guys are winning the NBA title this year versus those fans that are really skeptical this is going to work?
I say 99-1, all right? Like, 99% to 1%. There's always a 1% kook factor, right? Like, here's the thing. I don't know how it does work. Now, the title's one thing. Like, obviously, health, and there's a bunch of things that you're going to get ironed out. But on paper, I don't know how you could say it's a bad thing, right? So, Maggie, one thing what LeBron does for this team is that he'll help show them how to win, right? Like, the whole winning part of it, it's undeniable that LeBron has that gene and can impart that on this team. That really comes from a losing environment, right? Like, the process was based off of losing.
Not to push back, I feel like it has to be higher than 1%, though, Anthony. Like, it has to be higher, because I think that there's something about Philadelphia, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys like being the underdogs, being the favorites, being having title expectations. Sometimes I feel like that doesn't fit necessarily with the vibe of Philly.
Nah, like, here's the thing, right? One, LeBron chose Philadelphia. And when you choose us, that throws everything out. Like, that's where people jump on board and embrace you. Like, it's one of those feels where people are already in love. Think about this. He's played in these celebrity environments, right? Miami, Los Angeles, right? These culture environments. This is a sports city. And we, like, this city's all about identity with sports. And so, and it's obviously, he's got a chip on his shoulder just for the location, New York, DC, the whole nine, right? It's always been a piece of it. However, it's a big time sports city, and it lives, like, everybody's a sports fan here. Everybody. Like, it's one of those deals where families and kids and grandparents, everybody's sports people. We're all sports people. And so when a guy like LeBron, who's got this global brand, it's a really interesting thing, because he's known in Rome and he's known in Tokyo, right? And Philadelphia is going to be entirely different for him. And it's already been that way with this outpouring of love. So if I tell you that it really is 99-1, ratio-wise, it is. Now, again, that doesn't mean everybody's saying they're going to win the title. It means that they're a legitimate contender.
LeBron is saying title. Like, the fact that he just put it right out there. It's in his first tweets, you know, that came out after the signing. Title or – he basically said title or bust. How do you think that the Sixers are going to respond to that? Because here's the thing, Anthony. It's just a lot of change in the organization this year. A lot of change. Change in the front office. Head coach is still the same. You traded for Jaylen Brown. That's obviously a good thing. But again, new faces kind of getting used to this. Do you think LeBron should have been so adamant, like, I am there to win a title in 2027?
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's exactly what you need. And that's what this organization needs. Again, it was predicated on losing on purpose, right? Well, Mike Gansey comes in as the new GM, didn't lose a single game on purpose, and reshaped this whole roster into a legitimate title contender. And listen, they haven't gotten out of the second round since 2001. There was so much expectation on the process that we all declared to be dead. Like before the Jaylen Brown trade, you looked at that roster. There's no way in hell they're going to get off that Paul George contract or even Embiid for that matter. And you were stuck with an ascending player in VJ Escombe, a star in Maxey, but they didn't fit with those two contracts. Well, you get out of the George contract miraculously with Jaylen Brown. Yeah, it's time to believe in the expectations. And I think Gansey, he got Simons off the bench. KCP just came. Like, let's go, man. This is time to win.
You know what it's like, though, when these teams in Philadelphia feel that championship or bust pressure, right? Sometimes it can work, but sometimes, you know, I think back to the dream team. Vince Young, and I know that he regrets saying that. And to be honest, you go back to the quote, it wasn't even that bad. But why do you think this one could be different?
Because of what you got, right? Like, because, I mean, you look at their starting five, and their starting five is the best on paper in the league, right? Like, listen, San Antonio and OKC, I put them on another level. Like, they've been great. You know, they're going to be good. But you look at the Sixers starting five, and you're going to run out Maxey, who's in his prime, Edgecombe, who's ascending he does everything, plays defense, great energy, athletic, can shoot, can catch and shoot. Jaylen Brown, proven scorer in his prime. Now LeBron and Embiid. Like, if you want to tell me that Embiid's the X factor, to a point I agree. Like, he's going to have to stay healthy, which he has not done. He is a guy that, now I know he's in shape and he's pain-free for the first offseason forever, but he still hasn't gotten through a postseason without getting nicked up and dinged up. He's going to have to do that because they need a rim protector and they need rebounding. But, I mean, they're going to score. They're going to put up points. They're going to be fun. They're going to be prolific. Like, with their bench, like, you can look at that second unit. Like, they're going to expand leads in that second unit because Maxey and Brown, somebody will be on the floor at all times. Like, they're pretty deep and they're pretty prolific.
Yeah, the basketball stuff, though, it's going to take a minute to gel, right? It'd be like unrealistic to think. And so they're going to have to do everything in a really condensed timeline. So I think your first point, health. I mean, I know it's so cliched, but you can't just have, you know, Embiid not play half the season and then think you can like flip a switch in the playoffs. Like, they have to have time to get used to each other. One other thing I thought about right when the news came down is like, this team doesn't also have time for any of the BS off the court stuff. You don't have time for the personalities or someone says something passive aggressive on a live stream. It becomes content for you for a month, you know, or whatever the fit in or fit out. Like, it really has to be, I don't want to say perfect, Anthony, but it's got to be really focused and disciplined to make sure that in Philadelphia, where these stories can catch fire, that they don't give any of that oxygen.
Yeah, although I'll say this, Mag. Like, if you go back to the Eagles' 2024 Super Bowl run, Nick Sirianni almost got fired, right? Nick Sirianni got caught screaming at a fan. Jalen, this controversy and that controversy, like, and they wound up winning the Super Bowl. They got it together.
AJ reading the self-help books, right?
Right. Like, and they won the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, you don't want to have to go that route. But, I mean, you got to perfect. Maxey's the key to this thing. Because LeBron loves Tyrese. He is, if I told you, a joy. He plays the game. Just how you see him with that smile is what he's like off the floor. He's an incredible young man. I love Tyrese Maxey. And he's diligent. Edgecombe's very similar, right? So they got some good, they're willing, and LeBron loves them. So they're professional. And I think Embiid's going to look at this thing like, this is my last chance And there's no pressure on me, right? I got enough people to carry the scoring load with Brown and Maxey.
Actually, I think Embiid's legacy has more on the line than LeBron James's does, even though everyone's talking about LeBron. But this is a real chance for Embiid to kind of nail the dismount here off of the NBA. And I hope that he's not aloof. I hope that he's not moody. I hope that he buys in fully and is obviously healthy. Okay, rank Philadelphia stars for me now, Anthony. LeBron, Jalen Hurts, Bryce Harper, sort of who's got top billing right now? Rank them 1, 2, 3.
Well, LeBron, it's the new toy in town, right? So everybody, and he's this, epic world, star. Hurts is still want one because when you win a Super Bowl here, and go to another. Now there's a new offense, so we'll see. But for the time being, Jalen still won. Bron two. Bryce needs to get it going. He also needs some help from the right side of the plate. But I'll put Bryce 3, and then you got Maxey and Jalen and Brown right there.
Okay.
Don't forget Saquon.
I was going to say, Saquon, I could expand this to Kyle Schwarber, to Turner, but then it gets a little too... Now we're in the peripherals,
That's where we're going off our minds, Maggie. This is like a throwback. When I was a little kid, this is what it was like, where the Philadelphia was the epicenter of sports. And, Mag, it's 250. We're celebrating America. So, of course, America's birthplace would be hot right around now.
Wow. It's so much bigger than any of us could have ever imagined. What would it mean for LeBron to win a championship in Philly?
Well, think about it. He would go to 4 teams, 4 different titles. I mean, that's great arsenal in the fight against MJ and the GOAT argument. And I think going to a real sports town and winning it with all the he's already received more adulation here than his whole time in Los Angeles. So, and that's in 2 days where he's not even here. So he hasn't seen anything. I will tell you that when Terrell Owens came to the Eagles in 2004, they went to training camp and there was 25,000 people that stalled traffic. Andy Reid was late to practice that day because traffic was snarled to this little college mountain town about 2 hours from the city. That's how rabid they are. And they're already buying up preseason tickets. It's going to be crazy here.
Man, I don't know if you're meaning to do this, Anthony, but you're going to be antagonizing the people of Cleveland if you keep talking about how Philly's the only real sports town that he ever played in. I mean, the Cleveland fans are pretty loyal considering how much they lose and they keep coming back.
It's a great sports town. It is. But, it's not the size. It's not our size. It's a cute town.
Oh man, they're not going to like hearing that.
I like Clay. It's nice, but come on, let's face it. Philadelphia is a legitimate sports town, like a real sports town. I don't care what anybody says. It's Philadelphia, Boston, and New York.
That's it. That's the list.
Chicago, too.
Chicago. Okay. In there. While I have you here, Jalen Hurts entered the season, .. Like, your face just said it all.
Yes, Jalen Hurts enters the season playing for his future in Philadelphia because they have a new offensive coordinator in Sean Mannion who is going to install an under center, something that Jalen hasn't done. It's going to be a completely different offense. And, if his contract wasn't up in 2 years, I would say something, right? I would say, all right, no big deal. But, you have 2 more seasons left. And then when you go into you got to make a decision next year whether or not you're going to pay him, $80 million, 65, 75, $80 million, right? How much are you going to give him? And is he that top 5 quarterback that can lead you and make you win? Now, he's won before. He's always answered the critics, but he did struggle last year within that offense. It's a new change. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator. So I think for Jalen and Nick Sirianni, it's going to be an important year.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Who do you think has more support in the front office, Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni?
Well, I know Jeffrey Lurie loves Jalen, and Jeffrey's the owner. So let's start there. now, but he also needs to have, he likes a team that throws the football. Like, he wants to have a good offense. They won that Super Bowl because their offensive line was the best in football. Saquon was ridiculous. And their defense, and if you remember the game against Kansas City, they dominated the Chiefs up front. The Chiefs didn't get a first down. They completely changed field position that whole first half when they opened up that big lead. Then there was a pick six. So that defense was a big reason why. Now their defense is back. It's going to be really good again. But Jeffrey wants to throw the ball. So, you know, Nick, I think it's interesting because I don't know how long they want to stay on that OC kind of merry-go-round where you keep losing your offensive coordinator.
So you would say Jalen right now you think has a tinge more support with the front office, or we're talking about like a cavern?
Nah, a tinge. I think he's got a tinge more support.
Biggest threat to the Eagles in the NFC East is who?
Cowboys. They're legit. They are legit. They are good. Christian Parker, who I know well, is their DC, is an excellent defensive coordinator. Their personnel got better defensively. And look, Dak Prescott can play quarterback. He gets the ball out. You protect him, he's going to get the ball out. He's got the receivers. They're scary. And listen, I'm from Philadelphia, so I hate the Cowboys, right? I hate them. They're good.
Who was the better actor in the movie Hustle? You as reporter number one or Andrew McLovin Perloff, my former co-host, as reporter number two?
I crushed him. Ask Adam. All right? Ask him.
Ask Sandler.
Ask Sandler. Adam said it. He said, Anthony, you were the best. In fact, I still talk to him to this day. So
Bo Cruz, I bought it. You guys played those roles perfectly.
McLovin is the best. I love that dude. He was fantastic. He was great. Hanging out, man. It really was.
He loves you too. And it was really fun. He downplayed it. Then you guys had like four scenes in the movie. You were all over that thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And Adam Sandler is the greatest, man. Like that dude. And he's the great sports guy. Like sometimes the Hollywood people, they say they're sports fans. He's a sports fan.
You always get the Hollywood people with the follow-up question. Like, they can give you one answer to a sports question, but if you follow up, the whole thing falls apart. It's a house of cards.
Yes!
Sandler is the real deal, though, obviously.
He is. He's the real deal. You know what? I was disappointed. Kevin James. I thought Kevin James was legit sport. And then I started talking to him, and then it kind of got awkward. Like, he didn't know. I was talking too much like a sports guy, I guess. Like, he did the Sean Payton movie. Like, yo, dude, like, you know, everything you talk about, Giants, Mets, Knicks,
nothing.
I think a half of Fugazi.
Oh, no. And he's definitely a Mets fan. Like, if you're not going to be a real fan, though, go Yankees. Like, why do you even have to identify with the Mets?
Well, that's why I thought he was a Mets fan. Like, I thought he'd be, like, I was trying to get inside baseball with him. I thought Fugazi, I have to tell you. I thought he was a Fugazi. Adam Sandler, real. Kevin, a little fraudulent.
Don't love to hear it. Anthony, thank you so much for doing this. You're the best. Congrats.